Medusa's, your kiss Medusa's touch. Turn into a pillar of salt. To die now would be perfection. Then my loneliness closes in, so I drink a German wine and drift in dreams of other lives and greater times. And drift in dreams of other lives and greater times. Grab my mind, drunken thoughts of wounds and men. Why does the devil leave for us this legacy of loneliness, this cry for doom, and a dagger's thrust with your hair?
Good evening, everyone, and hello. You're listening to Revision Media at revisionmedia.org. Today is Thursday, October 8, 2020. I'm your host, Richard Carey, or moderator, as the case may be. And you're listening to the Roundtable Unlimited, featuring unlimited moderators, participants, and topics. That's right, this and every Thursday. Listeners, that's you. You are encouraged to call in and join us for our regular round of open forum discussion. The roundtable format is the opportunity for the listener to become the participant. And callers are welcome to bring their own topic to the floor, usually on a person's show. You know, it's preferred, although I don't know how often it's abided by, but it's preferred that you add to the topics which have already been brought up. Well, especially, you know, if you have a, you know, an active guest on discussing something. But I mean, you know, people are welcome, of course, to bring up other topics at times. So I do find it a bit ridiculous, though, like early on in an interview with someone. You know, you'll have a caller completely off topic, completely ignoring the fact there's a guest there and just bringing up something completely out of left field. Well, this is the perfect opposite of that, folks. I mean, you know, you can do that. You know, you're encouraged. Just call in and be like, I want to talk about this. You know, it doesn't matter. But yeah, add to the current topic or something brought up earlier or on a previous show, you know. This is a great opportunity. You also can share, of course, that with others after the fact. Yeah, check out this archive. I did a discussion with some others. Maybe you'll join in sometime as well. And I think it could really catch on. You know, we need to get this roundtable to catch on more, get more regular listeners, regular callers, for that matter, and let people know all the options. You can just listen by phone. You know, you don't have to necessarily interact, but it's always welcome. And that is a toll-free number, folks. And it is, as always, 855-492-6049. That number again, 855-492-6049. Seems we do have a couple of gentlemen in the conference here already to join the roundtable. Both South Carolinians, no less. We have a host of Revision Media here, Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener. Hello, Stephen.
Good evening, everyone. The usual suspects, so to speak.
Yeah, and we do have your cohort there. I believe the other side of town, no less, in Greer, South Carolina as well. Isn't that right? Mr. John Church.
Greetings, everyone. How are you? It's actually Clifton, South Carolina, beside Spartanburg.
Okay. Clifton. All right.
Clifton.
Mm-hmm. But, Stephen, you're in Greer, correct?
Yeah, well, I'm right outside of Greer, right on the city limits.
All right. So are you in an unincorporated area?
Of the county, yep. I'm just right next door is the city of Greer. Yep.
Okay, so you only have sheriffs and deputies potentially intervening as law enforcement if
that's
it's unincorporated.
Yep. That's right, yes.
Okay, well, that's great. I mean, because they're more constitution abiding, so I would prefer that myself.
Yeah, I do as well. I do as well. The city has been creeping ever closer since my parents built this house, I think in 63. When I moved here, it was mostly dirt roads and peach orchards. And now the city's moved like right next door. It's been interesting to watch the past 60 years, several or however long.
I'll bet. Well, Stephen, I mean, what's on your mind? What would you like to include tonight to open the topic floor?
Interacting with people on Facebook about this latest militia plot in Michigan to kidnap the governor. And, you know, I was just reading a lot about it. And the article that I had read from the Daily Dot, it just painted them as right-wing, alt-right, buffoonish militia types, gathering every weekend, shooting guns and bullets flying off the property everywhere with a original 13 flag, Confederate flag. And then in the article, it went about their Facebook pages and said that some guy had posted about the unfounded theory that white people were being killed in South Africa. Man, this is just disgusting, you know? And there was another similar kind of incident where there was a militia called the Hutari militia who were arrested for quote unquote planning to overthrow the government. It was just an FBI confidential informant just entrapped them all into saying something like, well, what if they were rounding us all up and putting up concentration camps? What would we do? And he said, well, I guess we'd have to fight back and take over the local government. Bam. You're under arrest for sedition or whatever. And the charges against those people have been dropped. And oh, the media played all that up and just, you know, when this initially happened, but as it went to court and the truth came out, the media has ignored it. And that's the kind of the thing that I was talking about with folks just before I came on.
All right. Very interesting. Yeah. I mean, we've been looking into a lot of this. I mean, the honey traps for patriots, militia enthusiasts, advocates, rather, be a better word, or anything alt-right whatsoever. I mean, it's wide open for infiltration, subversion. Expect that to be the case as your first.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So that's pretty. Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
You know, at this point, what's happening, I think, is that the feds are trying to entrap the white people or right-wing people or patriots, whatever you want to classify us as, you know, constitutional citizens, of saying that at some point we might have to fight back and then say, that's insurrection or that's sedition or that's illegal, you're plotting terrorism, while Antifa is in the street and BLM and the Communist Party openly calling for insurrection and revolution. So that's where we find ourselves today.
They won't even call Antifa an organization. They'll just say, oh, it's just an idea. You know, the left defending to the end. So the double standards at least are in front of Joe and Jane, Anytown USA at this point. Stephen,
they attack you and then arrest you for fighting back. That's what's
right.
Going
no, but
on.
I mean, even on the corporate media, and it's obvious the amount of double standards and bias, even to people who only watch corporate media, and you know, don't look into any independent media or keep up with any of these things. I mean, they're starting to see just how blatant it doesn't correlate with the reality that as they know it. And no matter how much social engineering conditioning for this leftist Marxist mode of thought, it's too much too soon. They're overplaying their hand. And now, I mean, with Hillary not winning 4 years ago, this Biden-Harris ticket where I mean, they think that LGBT and BLM and Antifa are the main way they're going to win, with the support of these fringe groups or something, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. They think that they're so arrogant. I can't believe that they could be so stupid as to believe they are popular, that they are in the lead with anybody. You know, there may be some fringe elements out there that want power, want to fight, think that they will gain more power if there's more chaos. There's always a few of those people. But, you know, anyone with any morality or any kind of hope for the future just can see right through that. It becomes more and more obvious, even with the brainwashing of the current generation, you know, by Marxist education. They can see how crazy that is, how things are getting worse, and, you know, and burning our cities down. Go ahead, Richard. Pardon me. We have another call.
First going to mention that it seems you also were checking on updates of the Not Effing Around Coalition.
That as well.
In the past. I played previously that Stone Mountain, Georgia demonstration where they were giving an aggressive speech, shaking down residents for white guilt fees, basically, to pass roads and things. It was pretty absurd, the double standards where that that's considered free speech and not not extortion, right? Or aggressive
extortion, a threat. That's crazy stuff. Yes, the latest thing about them is that they've been having marches. They had a march in Lafayette, Louisiana, and someone, I haven't been able to get the details of who exactly this person was arrested for shooting either at their parade, or maybe it was one of them out of formation that fired their weapon. That's happened before in some of their previous engaged formations. That's what their leader, I believe, refers to them as a formation, that they've accidentally shot their own members a couple of times.
And that reminds me.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yo, go ahead. You don't know?
I don't know if this was that again, or if there was someone who was confronting them. I think that you rightfully pointed out that if this was a white guy that had shot towards this armed group of black heroes, then we would have his name, address, picture, you know, and all his details, or he'd probably be arrested for that. But
white people or white people or anyone who is against the anti-white agenda or police in general. I just recently heard a story that led to protests in, I forget what city now, they're happening everywhere, where evidently someone shot at a policeman. The cop shot back. And so now there's a protest because the policeman shot at a black man who fired at him first, fired at the police first. So police can't even fire at people who shoot at them first if they're black.
Exactly.
Evidently. Now, that's how far we've come with, and Biden, Harris, that ticket is behind this sort of far left attitude toward law and order. This double standard,
behind
which
it,
is
yes.
spinning out of control.
Yeah. So far behind it, to the point that when you look up Antifa.com online, it links directly to the Biden-Harris campaign.
Yeah. We have another caller, though, like you said. And I am curious to hear, because a lot of this activity, when you look at Charlottesville and a lot of the gun-related events, rallies, quite a few we've been looking up this year and noticing alone as well in Virginia. I don't know. And the extreme declarations there of mandatory vaccinations for all Virginians when COVID vaccines are available. Why is it such a hot spot? I don't know. It is right by the Capitol. But, I mean, we have a local correspondent in the studio today, evidently. Well, remotely. So I'm very pleased to have Tony Truther joining the roundtable. Hello, Tony.
Good evening, gentlemen. Am I coming through?
Yeah.
Loud and clear.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know that I have a lot to contribute. I've been really, I guess, black-filled lately. As far as the NFAC, That was another AD accidental discharge, from what I understand. The guy apparently was a felon, shouldn't have had a firearm in the first place. And I'm not saying this just to pick on that particular group or blacks in general, but you're just dealing with a lot of low IQ stuff. And quite frankly, this low IQ is just rampant among our people as well, right? It's interesting. People I work with and deal with, like Asian people, say to me, and they're like, yeah, this shit is all crazy. Like, they start, because they realize that I'm not crazy, right? They realize, like, yeah, man, I'm seeing the same insanity you're seeing. But the only problem I have is I'm seeing this insanity among white folks. I mean, I have one Asian guy I talk to on a regular basis. He goes, and he's right. And I see this in my area all the time. He goes, all these BLM people, but most BLM people he sees are white. And I've got to say, wearing those shirts and running around here, at least half of what I see are white people. Okay. Which is, and I got family, and you know, the FBI said that white supremacist groups are the greatest threat. And it's like, that, number one, that is so absurd. Okay. Anyone with half a brain that this is the biggest threat to America. Not only is white supremacist groups not the biggest threat to America, that's not even the biggest threat to the people of color. What, I mean, this is,
amen.
I'm at a point where I'm talking to coworkers. Yeah. If you're a person of color, you're still in greater danger. That's the least of your, and you know it. They may know, and you know, I'm at a place now. I'm like, why do I keep getting worked up? Why do I let this get to me? Why? You just got to realize that these people just cannot reason and logic. And something I tell, like, people, and I'm starting to realize now, is that, if you were a moose, a bear, or a mouse even, there's got to be that mouse that sees the cheese, the trap, and says, look, you think they put that out there, but you think they're looking out for you? No, you dumbass, don't eat that cheese, man. Don't take the vaccine. Don't do this, don't do that. And it's to no avail. And you got to realize, I mean, it's tough, but you start to realize that's what you are and what you're dealing with around. Like, you're not, you see it. Don't you see the spring? Don't you see the wire? Don't you, I mean, look. And no, they don't see what you see. Anyway, if anyone wants to.
They seem blind to that. I agree with you. I hear so many people the last week or two, just in conversation, and some people in my family, one member of my family, a cousin of mine in her 80s, very poor health, and her grandson was damaged by a flu vaccine. Ironically, he works for Big Pharma. He had Guillain-Barré syndrome, going to be sick from that the rest of his life. And she got a flu vaccine last week, and it made her sick and sore. And she's like, why did I do that? Why did I get one? I knew better. And I hear people talking about it all through town now, like, you can get $10 over here, or $25 over here for getting a free flu shot. And are you going to do that? And, oh, man, please don't do that. You know, that is not going to help you.
Let's see if this caller wanted to contribute as well. 864 in South Carolina. Hello, you're on the air.
Wow. I was pretty much calling to listen in. But
here I am.
Okay. Well,
did you want to give your first name or a name for the show? Yeah, no, go ahead, sir.
I mean, the main thing I'm wanting to know about is the whole COVID nonsense and how it's been blown way out of proportion, and what's the objective?
Yes, sir. And what can we call you for the show, at least, please?
Do what?
A first name, perhaps?
Jason.
Jason.
Okay. Jason.
Yeah, well, I think there are multiple motives, but let me pass it to each of these other gentlemen. Stephen, Tony, did you each want to take a crack at how you would respond?
Well, I would say that the cold COVID nonsense is part of the Mark of the Beast plan, and they want to make everybody have to get chipped and do away with cash and eventually eliminate a bunch of us. I mean, that's literally what's going on. All of the activities of the past since 9/11, and even before that, they've been heading in this direction. They want to do the whole world that way. So, I mean, that's what the ultimate goal is. They want to chip everybody, create a control grid, do away with cash, have you under constant surveillance, no money, no way to interact or, you know, get obtain food or anything from anyone else unless you use their digital currency, which they implant in you. And the vaccine has something called hydrogel in it, which is like little nano bots, little nano sensors that interact with this grid. And I mean, the implications are science fiction level dystopian nightmare. That's what's real. That's the ultimately what's going on. And I think a lot of people kind of smell that when they start looking at it, and they just can't even bear to think that that's real. It must be a movie. I'm living in a zombie movie. This can't be true. But that's it, man.
Their natural defense mechanism says the government couldn't be this nefarious and or just.
But yeah, that's my opinion. I'll let the other guys.
The elite. Yeah. Profit for the elite as well. I mean, and not care about my best interests. They can't believe that the nanny state that they've grown so used to trusting and not keeping an eye on could actually just be focused on vaccine profits, biometric tracking technology, and the profits of those industries. And a lot of the people who would like a more totalitarian society, many point out that the 5G is going to be able to track people better if they have what is in these vaccines. I know it sounds like science fiction, but I mean, there is what they call nanoparticles. And as Stephen mentioned, hydrogel, it's actually like nanomachinery, the way it's described. And it can send and receive messages and even detect the states of the body. It really sounds very concerning, where knowing whether someone has been tested, is positive for COVID, and their PCR tests, which are over 50% false positive and never designed to test this sort of thing. It was designed to propagate more biological material for study in a lab, the PCR test.
Exactly.
Nonetheless.
Never meant to be used as a diagnostic test.
Right, but because
of
the politics.
I don't mean to pop over you, Richard. Yeah, I just trying
to. Right, but I mean, everything is getting based on this sort of a precedent of everyone else is doing it. I have to, if I'm especially a major player in politics or corporations, and it is about the profits of these people, and they want to be able to track who had the vaccine or not. They're already talking about restricting plane travel. A lot of airlines want to have this tracking available. So
I mean, to go on about like nanoparticles seems like a bit off to me, but I see it more as a taxation thing. Like, you know, if you can't use cash, they can tax every dollar you make. So it's more of a money thing to me.
Absolutely. The timing of it being rolled out in 2020. Yeah, they knew the economy couldn't last much longer. They want more digital alternatives, get rid of cash. And certainly, I don't think there's any one agenda, Jason. I think there are many agendas from many groups and their respective motives, interests at play here. But economic. Go ahead.
Boris Johnson had said how he wants to go, there's no going back to normal and, wasted opportunity, whatnot. It's just,
never
it really doesn't make sense to me why they would want that to happen.
Me as well. Yeah, I agree with you completely. Very upsetting. You know, I posted something today that the whole world is going through the five stages of grief every time another one of our freedoms dies. And somebody made the comment, mostly denial. And that's the best description I can think of what's happening that I've come up, that I thought of. Wow, that's what's going on. And there's not just one reason to do this. The nanoparticles and the nanomachinery are a lot more along the lines of the methods to achieve that with, the hydrogel could be, all of these things. It can be
well, there's going to be a digital, they're talking about a digital tattoo.
And an ID.
I mean, you can look up all of this stuff, though, gentlemen. I mean, it is all out there. They're saying that there's a danger if this is going to be a series, most likely, of vaccines for the COVID, either two or many sources are saying three vaccines, and you need to get them from the same manufacturer. Otherwise, there could be greater danger. Of course, we know there'll be a great danger.
I'm not getting any of them.
Well, yeah.
Amen.
I agree.
I'm not even anti-vax. I mean, I'm okay with, like, shit that goes through testing and things like that, but I am not signing up for zero liability nonsense. This rush.
Yeah, I was going to say, what goes through testing? Like what, for instance? There's like they have zero liability, just like you said, and not just for this, but for every vaccine manufacturer since 1986. If you are injured the way that my cousin was, by a vaccine, and you go to sue the vaccine maker, when you go to court, the person on the other side of the courtroom is not the company that made the vaccine, it's the federal government. There's a vaccine injury court that protects them all from liability. So they don't give a damn if it's safe or effective. You know, they have no stake in the game, no skin in the game at all. It's just a means to an end for them. It's a bottle
weapon. They definitely have a lot of these excuses for the biometric tracking, the digital ID, the tattoo as a form of tracking the vaccines initially, or whether you've been tested. But of course, they'll start using that for everything in the future. You know, I mean, it's just an excuse to roll out more of this that will never roll back. Right now, people are suggesting masks should be permanent. I mean, it's insane, some of the things you're hearing out there from politicians and the like. John, we haven't heard from Mr. John Church much. John in South Carolina. Maybe he was.
Yeah, he may be away busy.
Okay,
with the tour.
Sure.
There we go.
I came, I surfaced. I was putting boards up. I think I just listened a while. Thank you. I'll be right
back. Tony, did you want to?
Yeah,
take
I
a
would
round?
Just say to the other caller from, and I'm sorry I didn't catch his name. I'm slow.
Oh, Jason.
But,
Jason in South Carolina.
Okay, right. Is that? I know this sounds like it sounds so crazy, and many of us when we start to learn these things, it's not like we wanted to learn these things. It's not like I wanted to believe these things. It's not like I. You know, and as crazy as that sounds, like with the nanotechnology and this type of thing, and CNN will say that, you know, this is just crazy conspiracy shit. I forget what it's called, Plandemic or something. RBN has it. You can go watch it. You can see Bill Gates in his own words say this. I mean, and let me just say something about Bill Gates here. I mean, what does he know about medicine? Okay. If Bill Gates had his way, every single person that ever sat down to a smartphone, a computer, touches a keyboard, would have to pay him something, right? I mean, he's a greedy bastard, man. He may look like, you know, some cute nerd with fuzzy sweat and all this, man. He's a gangster. He's a gangster's gangster, okay? And he wants to get paid any and every way. And he's a greedy bastard, man. And when the government called him out on that and broke that up, man, he rebranded himself as some humanitarian with this vaccines and all this. He's going to save the world. But again, it's 20-1 is what is his return on that. I mean, I myself thought all this time that he was taking this money that he was making from Microsoft and he was using it. No, he's making money on that as well, okay? And he wants to chip you. You can see him say it in his own words. And the reason he wants to chip you, just like his software, we need to know who's had what. Because it's not enough for him to get money from you on his software. You need the update. It always has. And so they purposely make the software obsolete. And that it's called, what is it called? Engineered obsolescence. Like, and that's the way they make stuff. They don't, people used to take pride in things that they made, like make a pair of shoes, make a knife, make something you'd have for life, that you'd pass on. They're not trying to make anything for you that you're going to pass on to your kids. Now, I realize that obviously that is also difficult to do with the technology that changes over time, like computers and this type of thing. But they go out of their way to make your shit obsolete, to make you have to keep part of language out there. And you just look at that. So this is not crazy stuff. You can see him in his own way. And not only that, there's a bill. I haven't had a chance to validate this, but look into it. They're trying to chip the money right now as we speak, right? No cash, none of this. They want to chip it, right? It's all so I know it sounds crazy, man, but it's on the way. And Huxley and Orwell and these guys could never even have dreamed. But they were way ahead of time. But anyway, I pass it to someone else.
Yeah, thanks, Donnie. That I agree with all of that. Wow. Bill Gates is a demon, you know, the devil Bill Gates. And I learned today on the show that Richard has on RBN, a caller said that the word Fauci in Italian meant scythe. So scythe, he's like the Grim Reaper standing there beside him. I mean, Bill Gates, Dr. Fauci, the devil and the Grim Reaper, that's exactly what they remind me of. That's going to be my Halloween meme. Did you get back to us, John?
John wanted to listen. He said,
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, I got you. I was confused about who said that. But yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. So that's it's all part of that. And you're right. It is about digital money, but they want power. You know, these people who created this currency that comes from thin air, they can create all they want whenever they want and give it to whoever they want. So, and create more of it, and enslave us. Yeah.
Sorry.
And enslave our kids when they do it. You know, the taxes that would have to be theoretically paid to pay it back and never pay it back. So once they've already gotten all the money they could ever want. So what do you want when you can have all the money you ever want? You know, well, you have power, I guess, but they're just psychopathically evil. And Bill Gates, you can see him just, you know, rubbing his hands with glee when he's thinking about, well, pandemic one wasn't much, but pandemic two, that's going to get their attention. And it's coming. He says it's going to probably be an act of bioterrorism. Which tells me
Stephen,
he already has it to release,
once
you
people
know?
Are, well, yeah, Stephen, once people are that wealthy, it doesn't really make them happy or trigger that dopamine receptor to get more wealth. They have to take it away from others. You know, have more control, take more power and freedom control away from others. There is a sociopathic gene, though, in a lot of people who go into politics as well, for that matter. I think Jason wanted to mention more, though, when you were finishing, Stephen.
Yeah, I mean, isn't the dollar based on really nothing?
Well, just basically on oil. The only reason it has any power is because you're supposed to sell your oil, if you're an oil-producing country, with dollars. You're supposed to price it in dollars. And
yeah,
the military power. Yeah, and so the military power that the U.S. has, they have more military power than every other country on Earth combined, basically, and they can wipe anybody else out that tries to challenge that system. That's what has happened repeatedly, you know, starting with Saddam. Well, I guess starting with the Noriega, but that wasn't so much about petrodollars in Panama. But the first time they went to wipe somebody out who tried to defy their system, it was Noriega. And then Saddam after that. And Gaddafi was on the verge of creating a gold-backed currency to bring Africa out of poverty. And, you know, all this propaganda about Gaddafi, I mean, nobody's perfect, but that man cared about his people and was creating a better life for them and their neighbors, and doing it and he disavowed any terrorism, or he gave up all his weapons of mass destruction. And once he did that and started to show plans to turn Africa into a greener place by using irrigation and the pumping the aquifers from under the Sahara and stuff, and using this gold-backed money in Africa, that just can't be, you know. So they smashed him. The same thing had to happen in other countries who were not already part of the Rothschild petrodollar central banking family. Every country that we've attacked since the Soviet Union fell, it's all that's what the real basis of the military campaign has been. has been to put them in line so that they don't challenge the power of the petrodollar. That's what the Iranian thing is all about.
Well, if we're not working for the petrodollar and Rothschilds, we're working for wars for Israel. Right, Stephen?
That's the other side of the military coin. I agree, but if you're in the Middle East, there that has part of that. But you know, this is bigger than Israel. This is the whole world, and they're connected with the money, right? But yeah.
But since you mentioned military motives, I just had to add. Yeah,
I agree. Yep, I agree with that too. The Greater Israel plan and all that, and.
But they're really clamping down on nationalist movements right now as well, because this is a big one thing you might want to research, Jason, is the World Economic Forum. This is basically a lot of heads of international corporations. It meets once a year ever since 1971.
I think they meet in Davos, Sweden. They're kind of the public face of the Bilderberger meeting.
Isn't that Switzerland?
I thought you said Switzerland. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Maybe I misspoke. Yeah.
But I mean, the Agenda 21 as well. You might want to look that up if you haven't, and compare just how much a lot of this overlaps with what the World Economic Forum, using corporations as one of their largest machines to enforce everything, really have it trickle down through politicians and to the local levels. These Agenda 21 initiatives, it's amazing how much this COVID-19 lockdown and set of restrictions also seems to suit a lot of these agendas, which are international. You know, there are political, domestic reasons in the U.S., affecting the lockdown, but there are definitely international agendas, and it's not just about vaccine profits or biometric data, but it is about quite a lot of things all combined. I'm finding more and more about, and so I would have to say that every person should just look into these things to confirm it more for themselves. Not everyone is interested in or has the time, but if you see the importance here and you want the answers, I would look up World Economic Forum on your own, Agenda 21. Those are two good examples. Stephen, Tony, I'm sure you both agree.
Yeah, Agenda 2030 as well. The UN, they've written their plans down for years. They used to write them out in white papers that the Rand Corporation and some other institutes, I think it's the Hoover Institute and a few of these other think tanks, came up with all these plans back in the 60s and the 70s, and they've been working toward them ever since. You know, I read a lot of those plans. They talked to Zbigniew Brzezinski, was one of these insiders, and he was a member of the Trilateral Commission and the handler for Jimmy Carter, and he wrote several books outlining the plans that they wanted to follow through on. One of his favorite sayings was, it's becoming easier to kill a million people than it is to control a million people. That was the problem, that it was always easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. And that's one of the sayings that I heard is mentioned a lot at Davos too. And they're doing their best to control everyone. You know, it's a creation of this prison planet grid, this control grid. That's ultimately what they want to do.
It's easier to fool someone than to get someone to admit they've been fooled.
Yeah, exactly. Mark Twain said that, right? That's very true. So, and these things, I mean, you know, they sound crazy. I know they do, but please, if anything I'm wrong about any of this, prove me wrong. You know, it's like the only way I learn more is if I learn I'm wrong about something. I learn more, you know, I'm not going to. I think I said Sweden a while ago instead of Switzerland, right? Because it was Davos. Yeah, Davos, Switzerland, exactly. Mm-hmm. And usually the Bilderberg meeting is right. It's like the secret meeting of this group. They've been meeting since 1954. And there have been other think groups, secret groups.
Well, yeah, the Bilderberg and then this World Economic Forum meeting. These are both, I'd say, pretty significant. And yeah, as far as the foreseeing of what will be their most concerning organizations, resistance movements at the local level, it seems, of course, the Patriot movements, the any of the so-called conservative or alt-right or new right, you know, white nationalist, you know, anyone who's against the anti-white agenda or against the far left and the communism coming along with it are definitely strong targets. And well, with the radio and stations and topics I deal with, of course, that anyone associated with me better watch out. But but really, I mean, nationalism is definitely a big target. I had an interesting clip I wanted to play. It's only about 9 minutes. A gentleman in Greece, he calls into this one show every so often, and he gives updates. And he's just mentioning the current state in Greece regarding the government's new measures trying to stomp out any nationalist resistance movement. So I don't know. I thought this might be a good time. We're about 45 minutes into the show. So yeah, why don't you gentlemen sit back and I'll play this clip. This is on, let's see, October 7th. So it was just yesterday, actually, on Stormfront with Don Black. And the caller was George in Greece, talking, and he's talking about the Golden Dawn movement in Greece. It's pretty interesting.
But the Golden Dawn is in Greece. They're like a nationalist group. They're kind of like the alt-right of Greece, trying to fight back against the migrants coming in and, you know, want to take care of their own citizens kind of thing, you know, fighting against the illegal immigration. And things got to the point there, oh, I guess it was 2011, 2012, when they were having this economic crisis, and it got to the point that everybody's bank account took a haircut. They took some of your money. Like you said, they can tax your money. They can literally just steal it from your bank account. That's what they were doing there when the euro dollar was collapsing at the time. And the local police in Greece at that time, there was a lot of violence. They had the same kind of things there that we're having here now, with commie groups out in the street that were George Soros paid for, like we had Antifa and BLM. Well, they had Antifa there at this time too. And the local police told people who were having trouble, people were getting beat up in the street and stuff, the local cops told them, well, go find somebody from the Golden Dawn, you know, get these guys, they'll help you out. And now they've outlawed that group, and they're turning them all into claiming they're terrorists or criminals. That's what this guy was talking about. I haven't heard the clip, but that I know that's the subject that that he was talking about. And I'm sure Richard will get back to us in a minute. He'll figure out that we can't hear it. But that's the thing he wants to play. And you know, it's very eerie, because what they did to Europe from 2010, 2011, after the economic crisis hit, and they started with all of this massive immigration after they hit Syria in 2011, and all the refugees, and they flooded Europe with all those refugees, and they had Antifa in the streets. The same kind of things that happened there are happening here now. You know, we have Antifa and BLM in the streets. We have this shutdown because of massive economic crisis coming from the COVID shutdown crap, this COVID hoax. And you know, it's like Europe was the first step, and now we're the next one. They're sending all of these waves of illegal immigrants toward us from South and Central America as well. I have heard people say that they're going to be coming from China too. I haven't seen that materialize yet to the same degree. And we don't have as much radical Islam as they pushed into Europe, but you know, very, very many ways that's a similar situation, that what they did to Europe in the early 2010s, between 2010 and 2016, they're doing to us now. I mean, do y'all agree with that? Do you think, Tony, you think that makes sense?
Yes.
Well, I remember that, and I thought that was crazy. But, I mean, let's be honest. the fact that they've already given us this stimulus, this $1,200, $1,600, I guess, whatever, depending on where you're at, will make it much easier for them to argue, well, you know, we had to give it to you, now we got to take it from you. And I think that opens the door, right? Because if they can just give you something, then they can just take something from you. And I think that was the ulterior motive.
I agree. They want everyone to have to depend on that check in the mail or that deposit in your chip every month. And everything that you get, they want to know what it is, where it came from, who you talked to get it, where you bought it, what kind of service you obtained from who. And anything that has a monetary value that you would pay for, you know, they want a complete track of it. And that's the ulterior, that's a large part of the chip and the digital money, total control. And on this, yeah, that's that. But the stimulus thing, yeah, they tried to destroy the world economy with that with the shutdown, and gave us a stimulus to soften the blow here. And a lot of other countries got a lot more than we did when they were locked down. They also were met back afterwards with a lot harsher, you know, loss of freedom, especially like in Spain and some European countries. And look what's happening in Australia, where they just basically beating up anybody in the street that doesn't wear a mask or catch them without a mask. I have heard someone say that.
Australia's already lost.
Pardon?
Like, Australia is too far gone. Like, you have to register gel blasters, which are like the American equivalent of airsoft guns.
Oh,
like, they're
God.
Just too far gone. It's
but,
fucking
yeah,
stupid.
What, I agree. That's,
I'm
they
sorry
do
for
that
the
here,
language,
you know.
But it's retarded.
I agree. Yeah, they did that to Australia, England, and New Zealand. All gave up their guns. To a large degree, Canada has as well. And so that you see what they do to you once they get your guns. You know, that you're seeing how quote-unquote free Western countries turn into these nightmares, like what we see in Victoria there. And then China is the other side of this coin. China was like the model for what they wanted the whole world to turn into. They turned China into this prison grid where everybody's tracked everywhere they go. They have a social credit score that is attached to their digital ID that decides, like your credit score, just like if you're trying to apply for credit a loan. Well, this is if you want to go for a journey somewhere, if you want to take a bus, if you want to get on an airplane, you know, rent an apartment, whatever, they check your social credit score. And if you speak out against the government or whatever for a whole list of crazy reasons, what you post on Twitter and Facebook, they want to control what you say. They've already come after what you can say and do. They want to come after what you think, literally. It's complete.
They really do. And
yeah.
Hong Kong, I mean, the U.S. has been implicated in kind of influencing it, but I mean, Hong Kong's a prime example.
Yeah.
They should be free.
I agree. A year ago, they were striving for freedom. There were people painting graffiti in the street. I saw a lot
they still
waving
are.
American flags and saying freedom. And in 1776, we want freedom, and waving American flags in Hong Kong. And that was a year ago, and now they shut the whole thing down with this COVID hoax. And I think they've done away with a whole lot of people. That a lot of the people who've been killed were just people.
That national security law bullshit.
Yes, exactly.
Like,
yeah,
they still want it. They just aren't willing to go out and do it.
No, okay, I'm sorry. They still want the freedom. They just the price keeps getting higher and higher. I saw that they had changed recently as far as Hong Kong goes, that they can be considered political refugees if they're trying to leave Hong Kong now. That they got refugee status to come to America. That was recent. That was been in the past couple, 3 weeks that I saw that. And, you know,
okay.
Back then, yeah. Yeah, that's a good – I agree with that. I mean, but, you know, they're going to send – you know that the Communist Party is going to use that to send in their people in disguise as refugees. They're going to we've got a big fifth column of communist Chinese here, and they made the Chinese communists as the model for the, what they wanted to do to the whole world. They wiped out, I think it's like 70 million people in the last century with the Cultural Revolution, and you know, they just killed lots and lots of people back in the 70s. And then slowly they instituted economic reforms where people could get out of poverty. But they also increased the control they had over everybody. And, you know, Xi's goal was to rise his country from poverty, and they've done that the past 20 years. They switched about the year 2000 when all the manufacturing started going over to China, and they started building it up massively and taking all of the factories from over here, and everything was starting to be made in China. So they took all of our wealth, all of our manufacturing, and put it there and turned us into just a service economy. And you know, they wanted to implode this place eventually. And I think that's what they've already started to do. Trump, when Trump came in, he was trying to bring the manufacturing jobs back here. And at the end of this economic buildup in China, then they had created this whole grid, you know, this social credit score, digital ID. Anybody who resisted was pretty much wiped out. They have all these re-education camps for Muslim Uyghurs out to the west of China in the desert there. They're doing away with a lot of those people. They have Tibet under their thumb. And everywhere you go, they're trying to turn them into Chinese. They're trying to commit at least cultural genocide against all of these other different people, the Han Chinese there. They're like the most racist bastards on earth. They want to talk about white supremacy. Yeah, and they want to call us white supremacists just because we want to maintain the white race, just because we fight back when they try to wipe us out. That's why we're white supremacists, but they ignore that. The hypocrisy is infuriating. It can drive me crazy to see that stuff. So you're aware of all of that. I thought you knew, you know, a lot of this stuff, and I've seen what you posted, you know, I have a lot of time. You know, I have a lot of time on my hands to look into this. So it what I'm saying, I've really researched, and you can find it out too. It's none of this. I don't have any kind of inside secret anything, except the only thing I know that other people didn't was some corruption at this chemical plant I used to work for, where they were, disposing of hazardous waste. They tried to do away with me when I didn't go along with it, and I exposed them. This is back in 1990. And I didn't speak about that for a lot of years, you know, but I've been disabled since early 90s. And so I had a lot of time on my hands, and the internet came around, and I've always had a book in front of me. So I've researched this stuff constantly, and I knew that it was going to happen one day, that this was for their plan and what they wanted to do. But since this COVID thing has started, I mean, it has, like, it's gone on steroids. It's like warp speed. That's what the Trump calls this vaccine program thing, is warp speed. And, you know, that's what's happening. You know, they've accelerated it to the point that, you know, they want to finish the plan as quick as possible. We were discussing the Golden Dawn and what happened to Europe was kind of like the test case for what they're doing to us now. I'm afraid what they've done to China, they want to do to the whole world. That's basically where that ends up. And what's happening now with us, this lockdown, it's very similar to the economic problems that they caused with the Eurozone. I don't know the exact date. It was like 10 years ago. It was right after the crash of 2008 and 2009. And when we started recovering from that stuff, then the euro dollar was crashing. And now with this shutdown, that's going to be like dominoes falling. And they've made this plan over the years where the third world has become totally dependent on the first world with all this, for our refuse. You know, it got all this poverty in the third world countries and poor technology and authoritarian regimes and famines periodically, and they solve those by increasing production here in the first world and shipping it over to the third world, when they could have built up the third world technologically and increased their infrastructure over the years and created a middle class there, where the whole world could be a middle class now. I'm Stephen. That was Tony Truther there, Jason. And we have Mr. John Church is listening in the background. He's also from South Carolina. And there are other people that are called the roundtable pretty often, just, you know, different. And there's probably still some listeners.
How about a moment in time? Yes, sir.
Pardon?
I was asking about the announcement that Trump made during the debate he had about Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson shall deliver by election day. And yes, it's in his promise to deliver the election infection injection.
Mm-hmm.
And then it popped up again. It raised its ugly head again during the BP.
Oh no!
Now Kamala said that she well, if Trump orders it, I'm not taking it. And got off. You know how she, you know, looks like a llama walking away or something. She twists and sneered, and of course Mike Pence said that anytime you're trying to discourage somebody in the, you know, the validity of a vaccine is just pure, you know, bad, whatever Pence said. And he said that's just not, that's just uncalled for or whatever. Of course, he's very, you know, Ivy League-ish. But the fact is, there it is, that, they're going to turn against it. But here's the clincher. The two companies on the WEF partner website are Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson. Now, the story goes that you get enough proceeds of lobby money flowing to both parties, and it's a lock. They'll be locked into that contract. Maybe he doesn't know. I mean, you go to the WEF website, and it says, you know, you can have a gene-changing, DNA-changing injection. You remember that? I sent you a PDF of that on WEF website.
Yes, okay. It changes your DNA, among other things, yes.
And he's talking about your ticket to health, I guess, at a central office. They can, you know, study your heart rate or your privacy and everything else, because you'll be monitoring your functions.
And I just got a report. Let me stop you for a second there, John, before you continue. I just got a text from somebody who said that the clip did play loud and clear. So I guess I don't know if we talked over it or whatever, but
yeah. I could play it for you now, but then the listeners would have to hear it a second time. But I'll patch everything in for the archive so everyone can listen to that as well.
Okay. I'm sorry I interrupted, John. You were talking about Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson on WEF by the what do you call it? The election infection injection, yeah.
Yeah, and that Trump is either duped or in on it, you know. I guess, you know, if they're offering some of this funny money, you know, just to add some zeros to his pile. But, I mean, you know, I don't know that Trump is taking a kickback for it, but I know it's a heck of a contract to get the injection, but they are already saying that, you know, this is the road to health. And plus, it proves that they've already got the vaccine manufactured, because testing on vaccine takes a year. You can't inject the whole nation until you, you know, make sure
that's the prolonged effects. You know, okay, that makes me suspect the possibility that Trump is trying to discredit the injection, discredit the vaccine by saying it'll be ready to go. We're going to have it out here, and if you want it, you can get it. So I don't know.
No, I mean, it's a campaign promise now. It came up during the VP that that Pence doubled down that, you know, we have it ready by election, that, you know, she said that date is impossible and that if Trump does it, I'm not going to take it, trying to get pushed back to taking the orange serum or whatever, you know. She'll take it. She'll take it.
Well, you know, supposedly that's what Trump's strategy was with the gun control stuff. That he said, okay, you know, take the guns first, due process second. What do you really want to do? And by doing that, he let them show their true colors that they wanted to do away with the Second Amendment and confiscate weapons in you're in the Democratic primary campaign. That's what a lot of them were saying. You know, he says, I will come for your AR-14 or whatever. They showed their true color. Well, which doesn't sound that smart to me, but.
Well, gentlemen, before it gets too late, speaking of the amendments, Second and First Amendment, one more time, and I think we'll have it this time. So you gentlemen can comment afterward. And again, this is October 7th, Stormfront with Don Black. George and Greece commenting on a Golden Dawn.
We are taking calls, and we have George from Greece with us.
Good morning, gentlemen. I hope you're having a great morning. Some quick news from Greece. This morning, here in Athens, the Supreme Court of Greece decided that Golden Dawn is a criminal organization. That's official now. Right. And everybody at the leadership is going to jail. So
really, I read that this morning, and but they're actually arresting people for having the.
Well, I believe right now there will be a short appeal procedure, and after that, most of them will go to jail. I don't know for how long, but. Some people are going to jail. The thing is that the atmosphere here in Greece is one of condemning nationalism and national socialism. So it's not that just that these people are going to jail because a member of the of Golden Dawn killed some Antifa back in 2013. It's an action of condemnation against all patriotic voices, against all revisionistic voices, and that's the climate right now, emanating from the top echelons of the Greek establishment, both intellectual, financial, political, social. Everybody's right now is out to get us. I live in a small island, and we had a demonstration of Antifa's this morning, too, with signs on the walls, like nothing is finished between us. Fascism is going to die on the streets. So they're waiting for us on the streets. Even here in a small island where I live, I imagine the climate all around Greece right now. One very disturbing thing is the coverage by the Russian outlet Sputnik. Sputnik is supposed to be giving the Kremlin's view of things and of news. And Sputnik this morning was very, very, very close and very sympathetic to the condemnation of Golden Dawn. So right now we're all expecting
May I ask a question?
Sure, of course, Dr. Slattery.
Yes, I'm sorry. Sputnik News, which language service? Is it their English language service, Greek language?
Well, Greece isn't Greek.
And was it the Sputnik Greek service that was condemning Golden Dawn?
Right.
Okay. And, you know, I don't know what to make of it. I do remember RT, which is also, you know, more or less government, Russian government. In 2016, the RT English Language Service here in America was very pro-Bernie Sanders. And I don't know if that necessarily reflected the Kremlin's view. I don't think RT and Sputnik, while they are funded by the government and more or less controlled by the government, I don't think they're that tightly controlled. And you can get maybe service in one language that drifts away from the Kremlin point of view. You can certainly get individual journalists who express different opinions.
Well, in the war of ideas and information, I would doubt that a local department of a larger organization is allowed that length of a license when reporting about such important news and social events. But it might be the way you're describing it. Anyway, what Russia is doing right now is a big mystery, and if I may, I have to come back to the situation in Nagorno-Karabakh, where Russia has yet to intervene. Okay, Nagorno-Karabakh is about to be lost to the Azeris, and nothing. We've heard nothing from Russia so far. So Russia's stance is going to be a big question mark. But my comment the other day about Turkey being a useful idiot for international jury. Well, I would have to stand by my comments, because right now the Azerbaijan is being supplied with weapons by Israel right now. And maybe is the deciding factor, those weapons that the Azeris are getting from Israel, maybe are deciding the fate of the conflict right now. So that's my take for today, guys, and let's all hope for the best. And thank you for taking my call. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, George. Always good to hear from you and what's going on in Greece.
Okay. Well, still disturbing, of course. And these European countries are a step ahead of the U.S. We still have this, well, do we? Do we have this whole First Amendment thing?
Well, we won't if Biden gets elected.
We don't even really have it now, but it's still out there. We still hear lip service to First
Well, we have it on paper. We have it on paper, and increasingly we don't have it in practice. Having it in paper is better than not having it on paper.
But just like all our laws on paper don't mean a thing if the judges are indoctrinated by Marxism, right? Like we've seen that in so many cases, the two-tiered justice system, where there's one standard of justice for the left and a completely different standard of justice for the right. Or one set of rules and justice for one race and a completely different set of rules and justice for the white race.
Yeah, well, it's parchment, I guess, 230-year-old parchment. We've got it on paper. It's rapidly going away, in that we don't hear anything about it's a free country, you know. I may not agree with what he has to say, but he's got a right to say it. He or she has a right to say it. We don't hear that. I hadn't heard it in years, decades. So we are moving into a different world. And, of course, we have big tech openly declaring that they will fact check and censor anybody that says anything that they don't want to hear.
Well, gentlemen, now at least you got to hear what comments, feedback, who would like to respond?
My question would be this. Do we know what is the population of Greece? What exactly, where do the people stand, right? So the government's declared them this terrorist organization, just like we see here in the United States, that white supremacist groups are this, and everybody can see with their own eyes that, what are the odds, even if you're a black person, that you're going to be stopped in the street and your car attacked or your building burned, anything by this? So this threat they keep talking about instead of dying, and I don't know what's going on the ground in Greece, so I don't know. I mean, are the people, what percentage of the people see Golden Dawn as the way the government does or not? Can anyone answer that question?
Well, you're right.
I don't know how the general population sees it, but the ethnic Greeks, like I say, said earlier, they had been told by their own police forces to go to Golden Dawn while they were when they were being attacked by these Antifa terrorists and by migrant groups. You know, with they had been, so there's at least got, they have to have some street cred for, you know, taking up for people back then. I don't know what's happened since then. That was some time ago, though, that I heard that. It's probably been at 8 or 8 years, I think maybe 7 or 8 years that I heard that had happened. But the total population in Greece is just under 11 million, but they have so many people coming in. It's also, my impression was that it echoed what we were talking about, that Europe was a little farther down the road than us, that these kind of things are what we can expect to see here. It's like you could be forgiven. You could deal drugs for 20 years and cause the death of kids. I heard, I think it was Dr. Duke said this today, and you know, you could kill people, you know, do your time in prison, and people will forgive you. You could be forgiven for anything except for being a white person and being proud of being white, that, you know, and defending yourself. That's the unforgivable sin. And apparently for being Greek and being proud of being Greek. You know, in any kind of ethnic nationalism, any pride, any standing up to them, you know, it's just that same boot that they want to smash us all with, that they've been using the metaphor of the military going around the world and smashing anyone who tried to take up for their own people. That's terrifying. I had not heard that Russia had gone that far. Russia, you know, came in to defend Christianity in Syria to a large degree and to help deal with ISIS. Well, this is kind of more of the same thing. So, with Israel, they had provided a lot of the weapons and the training for Georgia back in 2008 when they invaded North Ossetia, you know, that when that whole little war was going on. And everybody just blamed Russia, Russia, Russia. But it was Russia who had come in and saved those people from the aggression of the Georgians. Yeah, and that was, I guess that maybe he's saying that Israel and Russia have come to some accommodation since then, maybe during this whole Syrian thing. I don't know. I would have expected Russia to come to the defense of Nagorno-Karabakh. It's like an Armenian enclave there in the middle of Azerbaijan. And, you know, it goes back way back to the Soviet Union. It's got a messed up history, and it's been fighting over it since when the Soviet Union was still in existence. They'd been fighting each other over this. And Armenia is a Orthodox Christian nation just like Russia is. So I would expect them to be allies too. That I had not heard, and that's very troubling that's going on. That's another thing I get out of that clip is, you know, I don't know, I'm going to have to read some of this. I hope that the guy's wrong in some way, you know, but.
Well, my next question would also be, was there some event recently or whatever that I mean, because I don't, like, they're talking about this, like, here, they're talking about white, what event? I mean, every time I log in or I see Yahoo or something, some white person says the N-word, and it's like this major news. Meanwhile, blacks are killing whites and raping and robbing and murdering, and it's like not even on the radar. And, you know, someone says the N-word. I mean, is there some event recently that usually they at least do that, right? Come up with something.
It seems like, Tony, that deadly white nationalist rally at Charlottesville in 2017 is all they need. You know, a bunch of Antifa surrounding a car, breaking its windows, about to attack the driver. He tries to drive away in a panic. Okay. An overweight girl, a black girl, Heather, dies of a heart attack. And that's the deadly white nationalist rally for you. So,
Greece, there were similar kind of events where the nationalist Greeks were just fighting back against these Antifa gangs paid for by Soros money, you know, and defending the migrants, sending the migrants in waves, and just for defending themselves is basically what all they had to do. I don't know of any specific event that triggered this whole thing with the court and the ruling. It's the first time I'd heard that, but that's something I will look into. That was chilling. That sounds like what's going to be here if we have Trump reelected, it could happen even sooner. But especially if we ever get a Democrat back in power, that's the future there for white nationalism, I believe.
If we ever, like, there's a chance, you know, that we'll never have a Democrat president again.
Right, exactly. When we get one back. Yeah, when the occupying forces regain control, total control.
Well, there's that pendulum. There's that pendulum, Stephen. It has to go swing one way eventually, but it will also swing the other way in time soon enough. And it makes me think of the term revolution. It is an interesting term, isn't it? I mean, it's implying that it is a cyclical sort of a situation. It's going to go through all the phases again and again, inevitably, just like the founders saying that within 100 years, you'll have to do this all over again, basically.
And we did. And this time, you know, there was a different outcome. The Federalists, the federal control won.
And we had successes throwing out the first and second banks of the United States. Andrew Jackson throwing out the second bank of the United States. If you want to call those, you know, temporal victories for the time, that is. But yes, I mean, as far as something equivalent to what the founders dealt with in the revolution. And again, this cyclical sort of a situation which is inevitable, where government gets too big, gets bloated, and really just cannibalizes itself to some degree.
Well, yeah, and even from the beginning, when the peace treaty for the military conflict was over, the Bank of England signed over our debt. You know, we signed our debt over to them. We went bankrupt and took a loan out from them. You know, so did we win anything really in the revolution? You know, we held these forces back a little while, but you know, it's just, oh man, yeah. It brings that clip brought it back to where we started with these false flag militia things that they're trying to entrap people with the event in quotations kind of thing that Tony was referencing there. These events You know, they say never let a crisis go to waste. And that also, if there's not a crisis, create one. You know, that's been the mode of operations of these people since the beginning, especially since, you know, the Industrial Revolution.
So, Tony, I think Charlottesville is all they needed, though. You know, if you want to get back on that for a moment, because, yeah, ever since then, they can refer to that. And, well, we see the double standards. So that's all they need as far as condemning whites organizing or speaking up.
Yeah, I don't know. The cognitive dissonance on that. I mean, basically, the Unite the Right went there to protest the taking down the statues. They jumped through every legal hoop. They were defended by the ACLU for crying out loud.
Had a legal permit.
Yeah, everything that they could. And I would think, look around you and see these Antifa are lawlessly tearing the statues down, right? But again, see, I don't know. You know, it's like that guy Jason, No White Guilt. I really like him. He's like, oh, that may or may not be true. Chuck was CNN, the arbiter. And that's, I feel like that's, I'm going to start taking that sarcastic approach that he does. And, you know, just like he says, and I'm going to follow, you know, I think I heard him one time say, and I'm going to be as flexible as the CDC. So as much as they flip off and go back and forth on this and that, then we'll just have to go with it and we'll go with it. And that may or may not be true. Check with CNN. I mean, you know, I don't know, man. Some people could say, pardon me, had to call that, you know, operatives or whatever, and you because you people don't get kicked off of YouTube or whatever, how they do, you know, it's all so crazy. But the cognitive dissonance, I don't know, it's what I scratch my head at. I have a black friend, and he's a conservative, and he's a very devout Christian and just a level-headed person, and it just, I don't know, he has common sense, and I don't know how some people's brains don't work. At his job, actually, when all this stuff started going down, they put up this BLM stuff and all this, and he went off. He stood up in front of the whole company. He said, look, this is offensive to a lot of white people here, but they won't say anything, but I will, because all lives matter. And he says, why are you honoring these people? Do you realize that they would break all the glass in your car, out of the windows of your cars, and they would burn this building to the ground, and we wouldn't have a job, and we wouldn't be here doing anything, and you're honoring these people. Why are you doing this? And you know, of course, he could get away with it because he's black. Now, he still caught a lot of flack for that shit, for doing that. But it's like, you're looking at, I mean, we're close friends, and it's like, yeah, I don't get it either. You're looking at people, and you're like, what the fuck is between your ear? Oh, I'm sorry, Gretchen, forgive me. But seriously, you can't help it. You look at people, it's like, what is in your, what do you have for brain? What the hell is going on, man? What is the thought process? And when you do this thing with Golden Dawn, you're talking about like a countries like Greece, for example, that is so ethnocentric, and they're the darkest white people, by the way, that there are. Somehow, if they're convinced to not, you know, I don't know, but I don't know that that's true, right? Just like the thing in Australia, right? They're being taken hostage by the government. Well, I don't know.
This George in Greece, he calls in pretty regularly to Stormfront. He seems like a pretty sound, you know, source of information, pretty level-headed. And I'd give him the benefit of the doubt that the information he's passing on to another country on a show he frequents is, you know, something that he's has vetted sources for. But
yeah,
it must reflect some of the people. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I don't know. I think that the population, the ethnic population of the Greeks probably support Golden Dawn. And even if they don't openly, you know, they feel the same thing. It's like that, like the white people at that job didn't like the BLM stuff up there either, but they cucked enough to go along and to get along because they realize their job can go away in an instant. They can lock you down and take it away from you. So, it's, man, people, I don't know. It gets very infuriating to see all this happening to our world. I don't know.
It on the head. They got your job, your pension, your retirement, and that explains why police actively work against their own interests and protect the very people that are out to destroy them. Yeah, actually, you hit it dead on the head, yeah.
Right? That's that's going on. And this whole mask thing is a big symbol for them that they can shut us up and we have no reason to be heard. They can take away from us anytime. And the number of people who just have gone along with it. And I mean, there's some people who are really afraid, you know, and think that that will help somehow. And some of them just go along to get along. But most of the people I end up talking to, their eyes are down and they really don't want to be breathing through that face diaper. You know, it's just, it's on, you know, it's the end game, basically. You know, this is their end game for the whole world. And I don't know what the next phase will be, but it's almost November. It's almost flu season. And they'll have something to come up with, you know. The tests are worthless that they use, these PCR tests. They're just a weapon they can use against us. So there's something that's going to really drop between now and the election day. I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, things are going to get real interesting. They had Michelle Obama on with saying what they condemn Antifa for a few isolated incidents of violence, mostly peaceful demonstrations. You know, it was like Jeffrey Dahmer was mostly peaceful. He was sleeping a lot of the time. Yeah, it's just some of the times he was cooking, but he wasn't much. Just, yeah, it's like calling Jeffrey Dahmer mostly peaceful to me. It just, you know. Yeah, and what do we do? You know. Yeah,
I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm unmuted, you can't hear. But I had to unmute just for that. Yeah, yeah. He was mostly vegetarian.
Absolutely. Yeah, mostly. Mostly vegetarian. That's right. That's the other side of that meme. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know, man. I cannot see. Like you said, what's the thought process? I can't think of anyone thinking. You know, they're not thinking. They're programmed. This is operant conditioning. They've been conditioned like Pavlov's dog or you know, B.F. Skinner, stimulus response. And the TV, the idiot box has done it to people largely since the 50s. They're so suggestible that they can just push the buttons and they
there's
react.
There's more and more people who are falling into the totalitarianism, the control, whatever little piece of it they have authorization over. And the triggering, Wilhelm earlier today was talking about the triggering of a lot of people at a hotel. A manager put a note under his door with a cartoon making fun of people who are questioning the COVID social distancing, lockdown measures, masks. I mean, you know, what happened to the customer is always right as far as, you know, the people who are at your hotel. But no, the manager's like that to him. If he has that attitude, that's pretty extreme.
That's a terrible. I mean, that's the kind of atmosphere they have. Is he in France? He's in France.
He's in Holland, back home in Holland. No, origin, homeland, but he's living in France these days.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, yeah. So that's yeah. But
when he went back home, that's how Holland is. He called it Hell Land.
Hellland, okay.
Oh, and Tony, while I have you here, you know, I wanted to mention, do you think you might be available to do, you know, a little more catching up maybe on my show next week, next Wednesday?
Man, I've been so busy lately. I can't. That's why I've been in return. I haven't been able to keep up with anybody. And my life's in a lot of turmoil right now, to be honest. So I really can't.
Okay.
I love and appreciate everything you're doing, but yeah, I don't want to commit to anything. Okay. And honestly, I don't even know. I'm to be honest, part of me is just dropping, tuning out for my own mental health and some of this stuff. I hesitated even to call in tonight. Like, I don't really know what I can contribute. I can't keep up, and I can't compute the lunacy of it all, to be honest with you anymore. And and then you start thinking crazy, like conspiracy stuff. Like, is there something in the water? I mean, you know, I know that people's emotions make them bypass their logic. Okay. Obviously you can tell it in my voice, right? That my emotions can get the better of me and everything, but I still stop, rationally think, and this type of thing. And I, you know, just like a short circuit or in a computer, or you watch something malfunction or, And I know that's what's happening in people. And the people manipulating, they've masterminded this. Trump isn't playing 3D chess. I know who's playing 3D chess. And they're doing it well, and it's everything. And it's predictive, and it works. It's just like your shopping habits, your behaviors online. And all of this is being monitored. And it doesn't take a genius human being to do it. It just takes a computer. And they can get good and be very predictive. And, you know, we don't want to think that. We want to think we got these magical special spirits and souls and all that. But I think there's something to the algorithm. I don't know, unless someone wants to correct me on that.
I'm afraid you're right. It's scary. I mean, a magical, beautiful soul. I've seen evidence of that on the personal level with people. You know, I feel that sometimes in interactions very close to home, but as the masses and all, I don't see any big miraculous awakenings and stuff like that. That's just, I don't know. It's like you said, the algorithm is running everything. And it's rapidly, you know, quickening. I don't know. And I don't know what Trump is, kind of a mystery. He must be compromised, because I think that he realizes that vaccine damaged his son and he doesn't want to go along with it. He talked about vaccine safety and stuff, and he doesn't want to go. He hasn't launched any wars. You know, we're not bombing a bunch of new places that we didn't before. He's been trying to bring the troops home. I mean, there are some good things I can say about Trump. You know, he should have put our troops down on the border, not made that deal with the Mexicans and the UN. You know, he shouldn't have done that. But, you know, there's some things there's a lot of things he shouldn't have done. But he hasn't, and I hate saying, looking at it, well, at least we don't have another war creator here. You know, he's not added three more countries to the bombing list this term. You know, that's the best I can say. That is kind of sad. You know, I'm just grasping at straws here, you know, but I still don't want to see Biden in there. That's for sure. Then if he gets in, then we'll be Greece tomorrow or whatever. You know, we'd be worse than that. It just would be, it'd be on, you know. Most people just want to be left alone and live their life. They don't want to have to think about this stuff, you know, and they went along and did that for so many years. And the whole time that they were living their life and not worrying about things like this, you know, then they were being programmed, and these conditions were being created all over the world and in our country, and they were being manipulated, and they started to feel that something's wrong. You know, 9/11, wait a minute. That look at Building 7 there. That didn't even get hit by a plane, and look how it fell. And, you know, in the back of their mind, ever since they've seen that, if they got any sense at all, it's nagging at them. Like, wait a minute, that building didn't just fall because, you know, of a fire. There's no way. That's never happened anywhere else before. So people know, it was one part of their psyche that everything is screwed up, but it's like you said, the cognitive dissonance. Then they have all this other stuff going on, like, you know, the government wouldn't do that. Why would they do that? You know, what's in it for them? And people are in denial. Like I said about the five stages of grief, they're mostly in denial about all this stuff, to the largest part at this point, that people are in denial of it happening, because it is happening. Just like you said, all these cities are burning down, and people say, well, I haven't seen that. Where's the city burned down? You know, because that's on some of Trump's ads. While they burned our cities, and they, the Democrats support Antifa burning our cities down. And I've heard, I think it might've been Michelle that came out and said, well, where's the city burning? I mean, the whole time I saw this ad or a meme or whatever with the fires raging behind her while she was saying that. The mostly peaceful crap. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And even before, no, I was going to say, even before Charlottesville in 2016, I forget the guy's name, you had a BLM sniper who took out 6 Dallas police, and they killed him with a robot. He assassinated 6 Dallas police, okay? But that's like nothing. And like you say, in Charlottesville, again, We lost two police in Charlottesville. Everybody forgets about the helicopter crash, the two state troopers that we lost. Completely forget about that or what was behind that. It was, I guess it was just a crash accident, okay? But, yeah, a guy hits a car that hits a car. That white guy killed the white woman dies type of thing. But, yeah, this cognitive dissonance, like you say, I mean, I had a family member actually mocking me recently about the moon landing thing, right, and me not believing that. And I'm like, look, it's moon landing. Let's get this straight. Not moon landing. It's moon landing. Okay. And had came back with some excuse as to how they navigated around these Van Allen belts and all this, which is something I mentioned earlier. And I'm like, okay, remember, we've been there six times. Six. 12 astronauts, six times. We haven't been back in 50 years. Now, look, if you still believe the official narrative that we've been there six times, because that's what you got to believe, and that 12 astronauts walked on that soil, and we haven't been back in 50 years, you should at least respect me enough for doubting it.
Amen.
The fact that you
could
be ignorant of that, the fact that I got to point that out to you because you didn't even know it, and yet still you mock me as some crazy conspiracy person, it's like, no, your brain is short-circuited. You are malfunctioning. Your brain is not operating correctly. Your logic has been bypassed. And, you know, that's just how it works, man. I mean, I know it's crazy. Like, I'll give you an example. I spilt something in the buckle to my seatbelt that goes in. I spilled some shit in there, man. Ever since I spilled some shit in there, it short-circuited that. And now the beeper that knows when the seatbelt is connected or not doesn't work anymore. So it's not beeping, letting me know you need to put your seatbelt on and off because it got shorted from that.
Where do I need to put the liquid at exactly? No, but
go ahead. How'd you do that?
Yeah, but the problem, let me tell you this, though. You may trip your airbag light and not have airbag protection, too. So be careful. You don't necessarily want to do that. But right. But exactly. Right. If that was the desired effect. But I'm here to tell you that these people that manipulate us, they know how to short circuit your logic and manipulate. But that's why all this shit like racist this, racist that, whatever. Well, it short circuits people's brains.
Oh, I don't want to be racist. I don't want to be racist. I don't want to be anti-Semitic. I don't want to seem like I'm a hate-filled. That I'm accused of hate speech, right? Oh, you know, Pavlovian.
Their emotion, whatever.
Reaction.
Right. Exactly. That's the whole point I'm trying to make. And they've got it. These people that have it to a science. Oh, and they're only getting better and better at it, man. You know it just every time you go to the computer and they try to sell you stuff based on your searches and stuff, right? Which is annoying as hell, but part of me has to admit, oh, wait a minute, I really was interested in this, that, and the other, but I usually won't click onto it just because but you can't discourage it because I really don't want them popping stuff up at me. Some of us maybe are better off than others people, their brains get short-circuited, and their logic and reason goes bye-bye. And, I guess it's that, yeah. You know, and I don't know, are there people, you know, how are you going to save humanity? I don't know. How do you explain the people that don't that manage to retain their reason and logic? You can see that. Like I say, I mean, I got a good black friend. He knows that BLM are dangerous as hell.
Right.
He knows that, hey, man, I like my job. I have a job. They would burn it to the ground. I don't know why most people in general vote against their own interests, but they go against their own interests. And I'm with Steven and you guys and everything like that. I think the Trump is the lesser of the evils, but it just seems like we're in a world of trouble. Either everybody's pushing a vaccine on all sides in every angle. So, and to me, again, that just seems like all logic is going out the window when everybody even knows, if you even sit them down with it, like they know the odds are totally in your favor, why we need this, or keeping the kids out of school, and then they're going to make all the kids have to wear masks. But anyway, it sounds like all the callers have dropped.
No, sorry, I did. It kicked me off, and the music was playing again. So I thought, well, I'll try to call back in. I sent Richard a text.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah,
cool. I mean, okay.
If Jason or John want to make another comment, they're welcome to as well.
Yeah, please. I'm glad Jason called in tonight. I was glad that you did that. You know, I hope
I am as well.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, we got technical difficulties. Despite the technical difficulties, it's been very cathartic and kind of the camaraderie of people who are awake. You know, that's been good.
Here I am.
I needed this. Hi. How you doing?
Yeah. Trump shut down Huawei. You know, they set up operation to run 5G, and then they might have monitored their system and then shut them down. But they reversed them and sent them back, and they had billions invested. And he said all our allies shut down immediately, quit doing business with them, or put sanctions on you, you know, executive order. And it might have gone through Congress. I can't remember. But it was just a month ago. He shut down Huawei. But if he shuts down, if he's cat and mouse, like you were saying, Steve, with, you know, he promised, you know, Johnson & Johnson and Bill Gates and company that he would go along with it. But then at the end, he'll say, I find complicity. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He might find complicity and say, you know, no, we're not doing this. But that's a biggie. But anyway, it's coming up in a month. We'll find out.
Oh, yeah. What, 3 weeks to the election now? I think it's 3 weeks from Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah, and wow. Supposedly also the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Great promises, but you know, you're skeptic on that when the delivery date is. But if they invented the vaccine 2 years ago, I guess they could deliver it then.
And as far as,
there you go, giving me hope again, man. That's
well, and Tony, as far as what you were saying, I mean, I think we're all feeling a bit of that. But yeah, no, I'm sorry to hear about, you know, just whatever other difficulties in your personal life. And so I know, I hope that things work out better. Yeah. Maybe in a couple months, you'll be in a better state of mind and we can consider that again, but no, I really appreciate even you just calling in tonight. It was a lot of good contribution. Yeah.
No. Yeah. And I listened last night to the show and I listened and this and that, but I'm just dealing with a lot of stuff right now and I can't, and just, you know, dealing with, you know, family that are drinking the Kool-Aid and just like, God, it's wearing on me psychologically, really. It is, to be honest.
I was also concerned about your personal state of mind, and I just wanted to help cheer you up, give you encouragement. So, yeah, I'm just looking out for everyone.
Yeah. I'm going to check out that Jason No White Guilt guy you talked about, too. I've heard you mention him a few times, and I intend every time to go to – it's a YouTube channel, right?
Yeah, and he does a live stream on Sundays or stuff. There's a gazillion of them. Sometimes he runs like 7-8 hours. So if you got free time or whatever to have that in the background, yeah, I like him. I'm impressed with him. I mean, nobody's perfect. I mean, but I'm really impressed with him. And I think a lot of his strategy. I mean, for example, you had mentioned me last night on his show about the reverse race, and I agree with him. I got that from him. Not to use that, because what are you saying? When you feed into these narratives, basically the idea is that, well, basically white people are racist, and in the rare occasion that it happens the other way, well, then there's so many things in these meme pathogens and the way he talks about it, and just the word and the word control, as John in South Carolina, exactly, and all this stuff that's meant to evoke things. This is all, and again, just like that, the fluid that fell into my seat buckle, these are designed to short circuit your brain so that your logic and reason goes out the window and you have the knee jerk reaction based on this narrative and the words and it is. I'm just going to say, why are so many, you know, lawyers? I mean, come on. And what is a lawyer? I mean, what do they study? How do they do? What do, I mean, come on, man. This is, and the guy's real good at pointing this out and dealing with this and how to get, and that's why he just goes with anti-white, and I agree with him. I think he's got that dead on with that too. Just throwing that out. When people want to call you name, if someone calls you a racist, you're just saying that because you're anti-white. You put them back on the defensive. You put it back on them. Just check him out. You'll see what you think. But yeah, I definitely got to plug the guy because, you know, I'm really impressed, to be honest with you. I really like his work.
What's his name?
And there's
name
no
again?
Shortage of it. His name is Jason. I don't know what his last name is. His channel is No White Big Guilt Going Free. He's written several books. It would be awesome if you could get him on. He works with Mark Collette. Yeah, excuse me. He's on Radio Albion many a time. He's familiar with all those guys with Stormfront and them and that. Yeah, that would be awesome if you could get him on. I don't know how much he does with other people. I know in the beginning he seemed like he was more open, but he would be excellent.
Had Mark Collette on as a guest. He's been on some of the other shows, Dr. Slattery's show on RBN.
Patriotic Weekly or something, or Radio Albion, which I believe is Mark Collette and his wife, and he's on there frequently.
Yeah, it used to be Radio Arian, and Dennis Wise is on there as well. Right.
Right, yeah, they changed the name. What was Radio Arian? Mm-hmm. Radio Albion. But yeah, Jason, I don't know the last name. He's German. He's definitely, if you look at him, he's got the classic. I just check him out, man. You won't regret that. No White Guilt, Going Free. And he has books like that. I think he's got a book called Born Guilty and all kind of other stuff, things like this.
Did you catch the discussion I had on Wednesday? Did you catch my morning shows this week? Or
some of them. I can't remember. There was one that I caught later, and I was glad that I did. I can't remember the guest you had. I mean, you've had a lot of great, you know, guests and everything. It's amazing. Yeah.
The guy's name, by the way, is Jason Cohne, Kohne. Jason, Kohne. It's a misspelling of Cohen or whatever, maybe. But Jason Cohne, No White Guilt. I decided to look him up.
I don't know. And what's interesting about that is he said one time, one story he gives, actually, I think he was over in England, where he says that he was doing business or whatever, and this guy asked him, and he'd say no, because they'd ask him if he was Jewish or this and that. Or and he kind of dances around the way. You'll see. It's not. And one time he decided he'd go ahead and say yes. And he's like, he told the guy, well, yes, I am. And the guy was like, oh, well, let's get you. He goes, never has that happened before. My wife. Well, you look at him, you know he's not Jewish. You'll see that he's not. He can't look at him. It's so damn obvious that he's got German, Nordic. And it was obvious to the gentleman that he duped when he said he was who did all of this. When the man actually got to meet him in person, you know, he was rather. Yeah, you look at him. He's not. Yeah.
I can see the picture.
He's German.
The Daily Nose and Poet. Okay.
He looks like he was carved. I mean, literally, his features are very, white and like it was carved out of a statue. But yeah. But I know we're getting to the end here. I don't want to hold everybody up, man. I'm really glad I did. I was bummed. I really didn't feel like calling in, to be honest, but I'm glad I'm dead. I'm glad we got feedback from the other gentleman. I'm bad with the name. I think his name was Jason as well, right? Yeah.
Yes, Jason.
And I don't want people to feel intimidated not to call in, because I realize it can be that way when you feel like, gee, you just don't know as much or this or that. I mean, heck, I mean, a lot of times I can't keep up with the current affairs, so I don't feel like calling or talking because I I know it can be intimidating, but, nobody here, at least I'm not going to try to. I mean, people are going to disagree, but that's the way it is. But,
I ain't here to try to beat anybody down if I can learn something from them. I mean, every man is my superior in that I may learn from him.
We all have different pieces to the puzzle, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You are. You got a piece of this puzzle that I don't. And,
It was great. I liked everyone's contributions. It was excellent. Stephen Douglas Whitener, Mr. John Church in South Carolina, Jason in South Carolina, excellent addition, contribution as well. And, of course, Tony Truther in Virginia. And, Tony, I just remember that, we're all networking to be a support group as well. So
yeah, I agree. We need that. If you ever want to veg out and play a game of chess sometime, you get my number from Richard if you'd like. Okay, that'd be fine.
Oh, you can do chess. I haven't done that in a while. Chess.com. You can play anytime. I've been too depressed to fool with that because I don't like to go in there and play just to lose, right? And fumble and
right.
So my mind's got to be in the right.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I go in. I just will use it for that little dopamine hit, you know, just to distract myself from something. Yeah. So yeah, great. All right. Hey, y'all be good to each other. I enjoyed it. And
absolutely.
I'll talk with you tomorrow, Richard, and again soon, Tony. All right. Good night, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good night, gentlemen. Thank you. Cheers.
All right, Stephen, Tony, Jason. John, it's been a pleasure to all of you, and thank you to the listeners. And feel free to join in yourself next time on the Roundtable Unlimited. Regards.
Your kiss, Medusa's touch, turn into a pillar of salt. To die now would be perfection. Then my loneliness closes in, so I drink a German wine and drift in dreams of other lives and greater times. And drift in dreams of other lives and greater times. Grab my mind, drunken thoughts of wounds and men. Why does the devil leave for us this legacy of loneliness, this crime?